They came inside of the ranch house and the outbuildings at mid-morning. Preacher rode out to meet them. Not surprisingly, a keen-eyed old mountain man had spotted the two riders approaching. Preacher turned his horse and fell in alongside Smoking Matt.
What in tarnation happened up there last night? We heard what sounded like thunder, but there weren't a cloud in the sky. Damn, Matt, you look like somebody's been beating you with a stick.
Something like that. Only it wasn't a stick. It was half a dozen aspen trees.
What in the hell are you talking about?
That thunder you heard was a half dozen sticks of dynamite going off, Preacher.
Jehoshaphat! You set it off on purpose?
Not exactly. But it did do the job we set out to do. Even better than I intended, as it turns out.
Oh, you turned that creek in this direction?
A few days, the Baron will have a nice little stream running right across his ranch. It ought to give him all the water he needs for his herds.
That's mighty fine news. And here he comes. You can tell him all about it.
Von Hoffman was riding hurriedly toward him. Smoke lifted a hand in greeting and edged his horse ahead to meet the Baron.
That's not all of it.
Yeah, I figured as much. What else happened up yonder in the hills?
Two of Kane's men tried to kill us again. They're both dead. And the blast totally changed the course of the creek that fed that underground stream. It's not running under the Box JK anymore.
Which means the Kane's water holes are liable to dry up.
I think there's a good chance of it.
Which means he's liable to be mad enough to forget about doing things legal-like and come after the Baron and his folks with all guns blazing.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Smoke figured Baron Von Hoffman wasn't the sort of hombre who let his mouth hang open in amazement. But the Baron came mighty close to that when Smoke told him what had happened in the hills.
Let me make sure I understand. There will be water flowing across my land?
That's right. You'll probably have to dig a few ditches here and there to direct it, but the general way it's flowing will bring it down here.
And take water away from Herr Kane?
Yep.
That's incredible. How in the world did you accomplish such a thing?
Luck, and a half dozen sticks of dynamite.
Smoke explained what had happened up in the hills. While he was doing that, Erica, Dieter, and several more of the immigrants gathered around to listen. Some of them hurried off to tell their friends and families, and the word quickly began to spread around the ranch. Dieter grinned and put his arms around Erica's shoulders.
This is the best darn news we had in a coon's age, huh?
I reckon so.
Von Hoffman did not look so happy about Dieter embracing his cousin, but the Baron didn't say anything. The news was too good to ruin with recriminations. But Von Hoffman was smart enough to know that this development had other implications.
We should double our guard.
That's a good idea. Kane might have been willing to wait you out before. His real grudge was against Matt, Preacher, and me. That's all changed now.
I will issue orders for the men to be armed at all times.
That afternoon, Smoke and Matt took Von Hoffman and some of the other men up into the hills to check on the progress of the water. The initial force from the pent-up pool being released was gone, but the new creek still had a steady flow to it. The water followed the path of least resistance, as it was bound to do. It serpentined back and forth quite a bit, but its general direction of flow was still toward the ranch headquarters.
I'd have to build you a levee to keep the buildings from being flooded. I'll bet that wasn't something you were worried about a day or two ago.
No, I never dreamed I would see that day. I cannot express my gratitude toward the both of you.
Save your thanks until things are settled with Kane. Klaus Berger is still out there somewhere, too.
I have not forgotten him. And I assure you, Herr Jensen, he has not forgotten us.
Jethro Kane was at the big desk in his office when Dick Yancey reported to him.
We got a problem, boss.
What is it?
Walt and Lee followed those two Jensens up into the hills along the northern boundary of the Rafter 9 yesterday afternoon.
I know that. Let me guess. They came back and said that the Jensens got away.
They didn't come back at all, boss. We never saw a hide nor hair of them since they rode out, so I sent Jim Hubbard and a couple of other men up there to look for them.
Kane slapped the ledger closed, then rested both meaty hands, palms down, on the desk.
Get on with it.
They found Lee. He was dead. Gut shot. Found both of their horses wandering around, but no sign of Walt.
The Jensens may have taken him prisoner.
Could be, but that ain't the worst of it.
Well, spit it out for God's sake.
Something happened to that creek. Instead of going underground where it formed that pool that's running down across the Rafter 9 now, the pool's gone.
Kane sagged back in his chair. Without the water holes, he was ruined.
How? How is that even possible?
Hubbard said it looked like they dynamited the place. Blew up the pool and set the water free to form an actual creek on the Rafter 9.
No, it can't be.
I'm about to ride up there and see for myself. Want me to have the boys saddle a horse for you so you can come along with me?
Damned right I do. I want to see this with my own eyes.
It'll mean going onto that foreigner's range.
I don't give a damn about that. Pick out a dozen men to ride with us and tell them to be ready to fight.
Kane stared in horror and dismay at the creek flowing merrily through the huge gaping hole in the rocks. He'd seen the results of a dynamite blast before back in his mining days, and he knew that's what he was looking at now. Jim Hubbard, one of the men who accompanied Kane and Yancey to the former location of the pool, was a lean, dark-faced man. As he sat his saddle with the others, he pointed toward the flowing water.
Right there is where the pool used to be, Mr. Kane. Reckon we should have put a guard on it, make sure nothing like this ever happened.
It's a little late to be considering that now, don't you think, Hubbard?
Sorry, boss. You're right. But when the Rafter 9 was abandoned, there wasn't any need. And since those foreigners came in, well, I guess nobody even thought about it.
Can we damn it change its course somehow, Yancey?
Afraid not. It misses Box J.K. range by 300 or 400 yards, boss. The whole thing is on Rafter 9 now. Unless you want to go all the way up to the headwaters and block it off there. But that's on government land, and it's against the law to go messing with the water supply up there.
Bushwhacking's against the law, too, but that hasn't stopped us in the past, has it? If I have to, I'll bring that engineer back in and we'll figure out a way to turn the water at its source. But before I go to that much trouble, I want to find out just how stubborn that damn German is. Make his life miserable, Dick. Make it a living hell for him and his people for a while, and then we'll see whether or not he'll sell out. At my price.
And if he won't?
This is a hard land. A violent land. And a man who just won't adapt to it? Well, he won't survive.
The new creek missed the ranch headquarters, but not by much, maybe half a mile. A few days after the explosion, Matt, Smoke, and Preacher sat on their horses next to the stream and watched it flowing. Von Hoffman, Erica, and Dieter were with them. Erica and Dieter were practically inseparable these days.
Look, you're gonna have to give it a name. You can't just keep calling it the creek.
I have the perfect name for it. We would call it Jensen Creek.
I was thinking it should be something to honor our German heritage.
But this stream would not exist if not for Smoke and Matt.
Jensen Creek it is. But the town will still be called New Holzberg.
Of course.
Rider coming.
They turned their horses, and Smoke, Matt, and Preacher moved their mounts so that they were between the others and the man riding toward them. Since it was just one horseman, Smoke didn't think the man represented much of a threat. A minute later, the rider came close enough for Smoke to recognize him.
That's Win Cortland.
The young cowboy who owned the Double Diamond came up to him and reined in to stare at the creek.
I don't believe it. I heard about this, but I swore I wouldn't believe it unless I saw it with my own eyes. How do you conjure up a creek out of thin air?
Easy as pie. All you have to do is come within a whisker of getting yourself blown to smithereens by a bunch of dynamite.
Well, I'm glad to see it, however you managed it. Does Kane know about this?
He's bound to by now.
Now, we ain't seen no sign of him or his gunnies, though.
You will. Kane's not gonna let this stand.
We'll be ready for him if he makes trouble. Herr Kane may as well realize that we're here to stay.
To do that, you'll need cows. There's an auction down in Laramie in a couple of days. That's another reason I rode over here, to let you know about that. You'll need to start putting together a herd before it gets any later in the year.
An excellent idea. Will you be attending this auction, Herr Cortland?
Me? Nah, I've got all the stock I can handle on my little spread.
I'll go with you, Baron. Matt and Preacher can stay here and keep an eye on things while we're gone.
Dang it, I wouldn't have minded a trip to town.
Next time. Kane's bound to try something soon. And like the Baron says, we need to be ready when he does.
Matt and Preacher had been staying in the bunkhouse with a number of the single men from the wagon train. Now, some of those men had gone with Smoke and the Baron to Laramie, so there were empty bunks tonight. The men who remained were playing cards and talking in German, a lingo that the two Americans had not managed to pick up to any great extent, although Preacher claimed he's getting to where he could cuss pretty good in it. So, they were sitting out on the steps instead, while Preacher smoked a pipe.
You know, it's a funny thing, but I don't feel a whole lot older than I did when I first come out here.
How's that possible? You're as old as the hills.
Yeah, and you ain't the least bit respectful of your elders, not to mention your betters. Well, I got all the aches and pains you'd think I would, but I'm talking about inside. Inside, I reckon I'm as young as I ever was. Hell, sometimes I think I'm getting younger. I can't stop thinking about going places I've never been, seeing things I've never seen before.
I didn't know there was any place you hadn't seen.
Well, there's bound to be some. And by Godfrey, I'm gonna find them all before I'm done.
You know what, Preacher? I believe you will. You smell something?
Oh, if you're gonna gripe about this pipe tobacco mine...
No, that's not it. I smelled this before, not that awful long ago. That night on the prairie, south of here. That's kerosene, Preacher!
Both men came quickly to their feet. There wasn't much breeze tonight, but what there was came from the direction of the barn. Matt and Preacher broke into a run toward the big building. As they came closer, the reek of kerosene grew stronger, confirming Matt's hunch. Somebody was up to no good. They pounded around the corner of the barn and saw several shadowy figures. Matt's Colt came out of its holster.
Hold it!
A match flared to life. Matt shot the man holding it. The man flew backwards under the impact of Matt's bullet. The match in his fingers went high in the air, arching above pools of kerosene spread over the ground at the back of the barn. The match winked out as a slug from Matt's gun destroyed the burning head. There were three more skulkers behind the barn, and all of them yanked their guns out and opened fire on Matt and Preacher. Preacher crouched and returned the fire. The gun in Matt's hand roared as he dove forward. One of the would-be arsonists staggered and would have fallen if another man hadn't grabbed his arm to steady him.
Let's get out of here!
The first man Matt had shot wasn't dead yet. He lurched to his feet and joined his companions in fleeing. They sprayed enough lead around that Matt was forced to keep his head down and Preacher had to duck back around the corner of the barn. Then they were gone, running off into the shadows. Matt would have gone after him, but Preacher holstered one of his guns and grabbed the younger man's arm.
Now hold on, let him go. We stopped him from burning down the barn, that's the main thing.
Doesn't sound like you, Preacher. Usually you're breathing fire even more than smoking me.
Yeah, well, we got that kerosene to deal with. And listen, they already made it back to their horses. It ain't likely we could have caught them.
No, I guess not.
The shots had drawn most of the men from the bunkhouse. They came on the run, carrying rifles and pistols and shotguns.
Hold your fire, it's me and Preacher. Varmints we were after have already gotten away.
Dieter had come from the ranch house to join the other men. He stepped out in front of them.
What happens, Matt?
Some hombres tried to burn down the barn, but Preacher and I stopped them. Get some shovels. Once kerosene is soaked into the ground, put more dirt on top of it. Won't be a danger to anybody that way.
Dieter took charge of that chore. While the men were tending to it, Preacher got a lantern from the barn.
We best take a look around, Matt. There were guards posted and something could have happened to them.
The same grim thought had already occurred to Matt. He and Preacher moved well away from the barn before he struck a match and lit the lantern. Then, with the lantern in one hand and his Colt in the other, he led the search for the guards. A few minutes later, he and Preacher found what Matt had hoped they wouldn't. One of the guards, a young man named Rolf Heiss, lay dead on the ground with a stab wound in his back. From the looks of it, somebody had buried a bowie knife in his heart.
Blast it! I was afraid they'd killed at least one of the guards. They came through here to get to the barn.
Yeah, Kane's men, you reckon?
I'd bet a hat on it.
Well, could have been Berger's bunch.
We can't rule it out, but this doesn't seem like something Berger would do. Anyway, he hadn't made a move against the Baron in several weeks.
No, but that don't mean he's given up.
True. It just seems more like something Kane would do. I expected him to try something before now, since Smoke and I dried up his water. Hell, I halfway expected him to gather up an army of gunmen and attack the ranch right out in the open.
This might be the first move, and if it is, you can bet that hat of yours it won't be the last.
The German immigrants took to driving cattle sooner and better than Smoke had anticipated. He had his hands full showing them what to do and making sure they did it correctly, but they were hard workers and managed to keep the cattle moving toward the Rafter Nine. Even the Baron pitched in and did his share, riding back and forth and eating dust like the rest of the men without complaining about it. Von Hoffman had bought 200 head of stock at the auction in Laramie. They weren't prime animals, but they weren't too bad. They ought to be good breeding stock, and with time and hard work, they would form the core of the fine herd. As long as the weather cooperated with enough rain and no terribly harsh winters, in a few years the Baron's ranch could be one of the best in this part of the country. As they approached the ranch headquarters, Smoke advised Von Hoffman.
We'll let them graze in those pastures on the other side of the new creek. There's enough grass there to support a small herd like this, and it ought to just get better now that there's water.
I agree. I haven't seen anyone moving around. I thought perhaps someone might come to greet us. Oh!
A bullet whizzing over his head made the Baron stop short and instinctively duck lower in the saddle. Smoke yanked his Winchester from its sheath and twisted around to search for the source of the shot. More guns went off, and the cattle began to run, kicking up clouds of dust. Several riders with bandanas masking their faces galloped toward the herd. Smoke knew there was a fairly deep gully a couple of hundred yards off to the right. He figured the masked men had been hiding there, waiting for the herd to come along so they could stampede it and ambush the drovers. Kicking his horse into a run, Smoke headed for the front of the herd. He was going to try to turn it around and stop the stampede before it reached the ranch headquarters. Even 200 head of stock could do a considerable amount of damage if they were running unchecked. One of the masked men charged at him. Smoke rammed his rifle back in the saddle boot and drew his Colt instead. Smoke saw the masked man rock back in the saddle. The man was able to stay on his horse, but he was hunched over in pain as his mount flashed past Smoke's. Smoke glanced to his right and saw Von Hoffman riding there, grim-faced as he tried to help Smoke turn the herd. As the two of them reached the leaders, they crowded their horses against the Bolton steers. The leaders veered away from the riders. Smoke and Von Hoffman kept prodding them to turn them even more. Suddenly, the herd was milling instead of running. They had succeeded in blunting the stampede, but that still left the man who had caused it. As the cattle began slowing to a stop, Smoke and Von Hoffman galloped around the herd. Through the dust, Smoke caught a glimpse of the masked men fleeing now that their efforts had failed. He charged after them with his gun blazing in his hand, and Von Hoffman was right behind him. The men they were pursuing turned in their saddles and flung shots at him. Smoke leaned forward over the neck of his straining horse to make himself a smaller target. He holstered his gun as he saw that one of the masked men had fallen behind the others. He urged his mount on to greater speed, and he closed in on the straggler. The man twisted in the saddle and fired a couple of frantic shots at Smoke. The bullets missed, and then Smoke was in reach of the gunman. He kicked his feet free of the stirrups and launched himself out of the saddle. Smoke drove the masked man off his horse. Both of them crashed hard to the ground. but Smoke managed to land on top so the impact wasn't quite so stunning for him. The masked man writhed in Smoke's grasp and drove an elbow into Smoke's chest. That gave him enough room to throw a punch that grazed Smoke's ear. Smoke responded with a hard left that he hooked into the man's stomach. He followed up with a right to the jaw. That was enough to take all the fight out of the man. He sagged limply on the ground. Von Hoffman brought his horse to a stop. He lifted his rifle to his shoulder and fired several rounds after the fleeing gunman as they disappeared over the top of a hill. The Baron lowered his Winchester and started to go after him.
Wait up a minute. If you go charging over that hill alone, they're liable to double back and ambush you. Let them go.
Let them go? They attacked me and my men.
I know that, but we've got this one. Not only that, but we need to go back and see if any of your other men are hurt.
You're right. Can you handle this man?
Go ahead. I'll be along with the prisoner.
Von Hoffman galloped toward the still milling herd. Smoke reached down with his free hand, grabbed the man's shirt collar, and hauled the groggy bushwhacker to his feet. The man's bandana mask had slipped down, revealing the dark, narrow face of one of the hired guns who'd been with Kane that first day at Hawk Creek Station.
Don't try anything else, mister, or I'll blow one of your kneecaps apart if I have to. You won't ever walk right again, let alone ride a horse.
Go to hell.
You'll be there before me. Get on the horse.
Smoke kept the man covered. They mounted up and started back toward the herd. Smoke's mouth tightened into a grim line when he saw a couple of huddled shapes lying motionless on the ground. Von Hoffman had dismounted and was standing near him. Smoke recognized him as two of the men he and the Baron had taken along to drive the cattle back from Laramie.
These men were shot.
That makes it murder. And this hombre is going to tell the law who was responsible for it.
You can go there.
Shut up. I'm in no mood to hear it, mister. Your testimony is going to put Jethro Kane behind bars, but all you have to be able to do is talk.
The prisoner seemed to understand. He shut up. Smoke glanced toward the ranch headquarters and saw a couple of men on horseback riding toward him. A moment later, he recognized Matt and Preacher as they reined in.
Sure good to see you, Smoke. When we heard that shooting, we figured Kane's men might have jumped the herd.
They did. Where's everybody else? I didn't see anybody moving around the ranch.
That's because everybody's lying low. Anybody who sticks his head out is liable to get it shot off.
What in blazes are you talking about?
It's true, Smoke. We've been under siege for several days now. Started with Kane's men trying to burn down the barn. We managed to stop them from doing that, but ever since then, they've been up in the hills taking pot shots at us, keeping us pinned down in the main house and the bunkhouse. They've busted out all the windows and put bullet holes in most of the walls.
We better get these cattle across the creek and into that pasture while the varmints aren't shooting at us. Baron, you take the prisoner back to the house and make sure he's locked up tight. The smokehouse will be a good place to hold him. And you, mister, you better keep your head down. Kane's already had one man killed, so he couldn't testify against him. He won't mind doing the same to you.
Come on, you men! Let's get these cattle moving!
Calling orders to the drovers, Smoke got the cattle moving again. Matt and Preacher helped, and it didn't take long to push the small herd across the creek toward the pasture.
How many casualties so far?
3 men killed, including a guard the night they tried to burn down the barn. 5 more wounded. Those pilgrims are mighty scared, Smoke, and I don't blame them. They've been under fire before. They've never been through a siege like this.
We're going to put a stop to it.
How do you figure on doing that?
The same way we always do. Once it gets too dark for bushwhacking, the 3 of us are going to take a ride over to the Box JK and raise some hell of our own.
No one shot at Smoke, Matt, and Preacher as they returned to the ranch house. Smoke thought that maybe starting the stampede had been the culmination of Kane's plan, and when that hadn't worked, the hired guns had pulled back to regroup and come up with some other scheme. Smoke didn't intend to give them very long to think about it. First, though, he wanted to check on the situation at the ranch. As Matt had said, 3 men had been killed and several wounded. Everyone else, men, women, and children alike, were crowded into the ranch house and the bunkhouse, both of which were sturdy enough to stop most of the bullets fired at them. Shutters had been closed over the broken windows that were equipped with them, and boards were nailed up over the windows that didn't have shutters. That was better than nothing. Late that afternoon, there was a council of war in the parlor of the main house. Smoke, Matt, and Preacher were there, along with Von Hoffman, Dieter, Rudolph Wolf, and several of the other men.
The three of us are going to hit Kane's ranch tonight. We probably can't do enough damage to stop him, but that should keep him distracted for a little while. That'll give you time to send a couple of men to Cheyenne, Baron.
Why should I do that? Don't we need every gun we have?
There's a U.S. Marshal in Cheyenne. The law's on your side, especially now that you've got a prisoner who can testify as to what Kane's been doing in these parts.
I never thought I'd hear you say we gotta depend on the law. You must have been around that dang Monte Carson too much. What we ought to do is go over there and clean out that mess of varmints.
That's exactly what I'd do if we had Louis Longmont, Johnny North, Silver Jim, and some of those other old-timers with us, Preacher. But Kane's got a small army of hired guns, and we've got...
Go ahead and say it. You have a bunch of immigrants who don't know what they're doing.
I don't mean any offense, Baron. And I'm not doubting the heart and spirit of you and your men. When it comes to defending the ranch, I'm sure you'll all fight like blazes. But you wouldn't be any match for Kane's men in a straight-up gunfight.
What you say is true.
Yeah, I reckon it is. But I still don't like having to depend on the law.
We'll work with what we've got.
And it might be over by the time those men get back from Cheyenne with the marshal and a posse of deputies. When we hit Kane, it's liable to be like poking a bear. He might just saddle up and come storming over here with every man he's got. In that case...
We will be ready for them.
That's just what I was thinking.
Jethro Kane seethed inside after listening to Dick Yancey trying to explain what had happened.
So you failed again.
We've kept those foreigners pinned down for days now, boss. Stampeding that herd when Jensen and the Baron got back from Laramie was a good idea, but it just didn't pan out. Jensen's too damn fast. And I don't just mean on the draw. Never seen anybody who can figure out how to meet every threat as quick as he does.
You can go work for him if you think that highly of him.
That's not what I'm saying, and you know it, Mr. Kane. Anytime you want me to take the men and go over there to rouse them all out and kill them, you just give me the word.
I'm not sure we have enough men left to do that.
Then let me send word to Cheyenne. I can have another 10 or 12 men out here in a few days. Good men and know how to fight.
Do it. Send for more men. I'm tired of pussyfooting around with those European bastards.
There's, one more thing.
Spit it out!
Jim Hubbard didn't make it back from the Rafter 9.
So, Jensen probably killed him.
One of the boys says he thought he saw Jensen tackle him and knock him off his horse. Hubbard could be their prisoner. They might figure on using him as a hostage.
If they try to bargain for the life of one man and a cheap gunman at that, they're going to be disappointed. I don't give a damn what happens to Hubbard.
I won't tell the boys you said that. They wouldn't care much for it. Hubbard's one of us. But I get your point. What I was worried about was if they tried to get him to talk to the law. We already got rid of one fella who wound up in that situation, and the men didn't like that very much either.
All right, I see your point. If they have him, we'll set him free when we wipe out that bunch. If he's already dead, then we don't have to worry about him, do we?
I reckon not. I'll send a rider to Cheyenne right now.
Do that! And don't waste any time about it.
Yes, boss.
Kane pondered the situation. Those immigrants deserved to be wiped out. Stealing his water like that was the last straw. The level of his water holes was already starting to drop. In another week or so, the situation would become desperate. Kane had been well on his way to getting everything he wanted. His grip on this area was almost secure, with only a few holdouts like Win Cortland and Old Case Plowright still holding onto their ranches. It was only a matter of time before he squeezed them out as well. He just needed to put some pressure on Clarence Fisher at the trading post. Fisher would stop selling supplies to him. And with the contacts he had in Laramie and Cheyenne, it wouldn't be difficult to make sure that Cortland and Plowright no longer got top prices for their stock when they drove them to market.
Boss?
What is it?
There's a fella here who wants to see you.
Well, damn it, I don't want to see anybody. Send him away.
I really think you ought to talk to him. He says he's got something to do with that Baron hombre over on the Rafter 9.
All right, I'll talk to him.
The door opened, and the man who stepped inside was like nobody Kane had ever encountered before. Not even back in New York, which had had more than its share of bizarre characters. The man was tall and gaunt, with the palest skin and hair Kane had ever seen.
Mr. Kane?
That's right. What can I do for you?
I think there's something I can do for you. Or rather, we can help each other. My name is Klaus Berger, and there's a man we both want to see dead. Baron Friedrich von Hoffmann.
Smoke, Preacher, and Matt rode through the night toward the Box JK.
How many of them you want me to kill?
You don't mean to sneak in there and start cutting throats like they were Blackfoot Indians, do you?
Well, the Blackfoot and me never got along. I ever tell you about how they was gonna burn me at the stake?
You mean how you started preaching at them like that fella you saw in St. Louis and kept it up all night and all day until they decided you were crazy and turned you loose because they didn't want you sicking any evil spirits on them? Yeah, I believe you've mentioned it a time or two.
Yeah, well, that's what happened, Dad blast it! And that's why I say me and the Blackfoot don't get along. But I ain't sure they's much worse than those hired guns Kane's got working for him. At least the Injuns hated me because they hated me, not because they's paid to. And you didn't answer my question, Smoke.
We've got to find the place first, then we'll decide how to... Wait a minute, you fellas hear that?
Sounds like horses.
Bunch of them, and they're coming this way.
Smoke reined his horse to the side, and Matt and Preacher followed suit. Smoke pointed to a dark mass that was visible in the light from the stars and the quarter moon.
There are some trees over there. Let's get out of sight.
They rode quickly into the shadows under the trees. As the three men stood there holding their reins, a large group of riders moved out from behind a ridge and came into sight.
How many of them you reckon there are?
50 or 60, I'd say. And they're coming from the direction of the Box JK. Did you know Kane had that many men, Smoke?
I don't think he did. But if you put his crew together with the gunnies that Klaus Berger's probably been rounding up over the past couple of weeks, it would add up to that many.
Berger? You reckon he's back?
I don't know for sure, but it makes sense. He's probably found out that Kane has a grudge against the Baron and offered to throw in with him. Then they decided that the best thing to do would be to go ahead and attack the Rafter 9 and wipe out their enemies.
The riders swept past the trees where Smoke, Matt, and Preacher were concealed.
We gotta do something, Smoke. The Baron's had guards posted, but they won't be expecting something like that.
That's why you've got to get around them and warn everybody at the Rafter 9. Your horse is just as fast as mine or Preacher's, and you can organize a defense. There's no time to waste.
What about the two of you?
We're going to follow them. And when they attack the ranch, we'll hit them where they least expect it, from behind.
Damn right we will. We'll have those varmints in a trap right where we want them.
Matt asked everything he could of the rangy stallion he was riding. It wouldn't do any good if he ran the horse so hard that its heart burst. But he did push that horse as hard as he dared as he swung wide around the group of gunmen heading for the ranch. He was going to feel foolish if he charged in, scaring everybody, and then the riders turned out not to be a combined force of hired killers working for Jethro Kane and Klaus Berger. But the chances of that were so small that Matt wasn't going to worry about it. On and on he drove the stallion, hoping that the animal wouldn't step in a hole or trip over some other obstacle in the dark. That would be ruinous, too. He was relying on his instincts and his natural sense of direction to guide him, since he didn't know the Baron's range all that well. Having to avoid the small army of gunmen meant that he couldn't just retrace the route he and Matt and Preacher had taken. He had to strike out on his own and find a new trail that would take him to where he needed to go. From time to time, he paused to let the horse blow. During those brief moments, he listened intently, but he didn't hear any hoofbeats. He took that to mean that he had gotten ahead of the enemy. Anyway, that was what he was going to tell himself until he found out otherwise. Finally, he spotted lights glowing up ahead in the darkness. Those would be coming from the ranch buildings. Even though some of the windows were shuttered and others boarded up, Lamplight could escape through the cracks around them. Matt homed in on those faint glows. When he came in sight of the ranch headquarters at last, everything seemed to be quiet and peaceful. But it wouldn't be that way for long. He slipped his Colt from a holster. He had beaten the gunman here, but he didn't know how much time they had before the enemy arrived. As he rode into the ranch yard, Matt pointed the revolver into the air and squeezed off three fast shots, the universal signal for trouble.
Everybody up! Baron, Dieter, everybody! Trouble coming! Trouble! Where is everybody? Baron!
Someone flung open the front door of the ranch house. Matt swung his Colt in that direction, but he held off on the trigger as he recognized Dieter in the light that spilled through the door. The young man clutched a Winchester. Matt turned his horse in a circle in front of the porch.
Matt, what's wrong?
A bunch of men are on their way here. Smoke thinks it's Kane's men and maybe Klaus Berger's too. Everybody needs to get ready to fight, now!
Baron von Hoffman rushed out of the house to join him.
Berger, I knew that devil would return!
Matt swung around, thinking the attack was upon him, but he saw right away that it was only the guards riding in. They weren't dead after all. He'd just been moving so fast that he was past them before they figured out what was going on.
Herr Baron! Herr Baron! Someone rushed past us! We could not stop him!
Matt swung down from the saddle and rushed to von Hoffman.
Get all your men in defensive positions, Baron. Make sure they have plenty of ammunition. The women and children need to be in the house, lying low where they'll be safe. The house, the bunkhouse, and the barn are all sturdy. We can defend them. And the odds are pretty close to even.
My men are not professional fighters.
Maybe not, but this is their home now. And any man worth his salt will fight to protect his home.
I must speak to Erica.
Schumann! Tell her to be careful, Dieter. And tell her that I love her too.
Ja, Herr Baron.
Now, Herr Jensen, let us prepare to meet the enemy.
The next few minutes were hectic ones. The commotion had drawn out most of the men, and Matt and von Hoffman placed them around the ranch in positions with good cover so they could fight off the attackers. Matt rushed from place to place, checking on the defenses, until he was satisfied that they were as ready as they were gonna be with such short notice. Matt hurried to the house where von Hoffman stood on the porch. Dieter had returned and was waiting there too.
There are men at every window in the bunkhouse, as well as inside the barn and in the hayloft. The men up there will have the higher ground.
As will the ones on the second floor of the house. I took the liberty of placing a keg of blasting powder in that wagon there as well.
The Baron pointed to one of the immigrant wagons that was parked by itself in the middle of the open space between the ranch house and the bunkhouse and barn.
What'd you have in mind, Baron?
One more surprise waiting for them. And when the wagon is burning, it will give us light to shoot by, will it not?
It sure will. Get inside. Everybody needs to hold their fire until that powder blows. I told the men in the bunkhouse and the barn not to shoot until the men in the house open the ball, so pass that along to them, Baron.
I must light the fuse.
I'll do that. You and Dieter get in there and shut the door. We want those varmints to ride in thinking we're not expecting them.
Come, Dieter.
They hurried into the house and closed the door. Mac trotted over to the wagon. He reached inside and found the keg of blasting powder the Baron had placed just inside the tailgate. The fuse was cut short. It wouldn't burn more than 10 or 15 seconds. That was fine. He didn't want to give the attackers any more warning than necessary. Matt fished a lucifer from his pocket and stood waiting with it. Riders swept down the hill overlooking the ranch and charged toward the main house. If there was any doubt about their intentions, it vanished as they started shooting. Matt snapped the lucifer to life and held the flame to the end of the fuse. It caught instantly and threw off sparks as it burned toward the keg. It moved even faster than he expected. Matt turned, charged toward the house as bullets whined over his head. And for the second time in little more than a week, the world blew up behind him. The force of the blast knocked Matt off his feet and sent him tumbling across the ground. He came to a stop against the porch on his belly, and he lifted his head to look across the ranch yard. Several horses and men were down, but the explosion would have done more damage to the attackers if it had come a couple of seconds later. but it was too late to worry about that now. Matt came up on one knee and drew his Colt, which had stayed in its holster despite his being tossed around by the powder keg's detonation. Riders crowded into the area in front of the house, shooting steadily at the house, the bunkhouse, the barn. Return fire from those buildings ripped into them. Flame shot up from the burning wagon, casting a flickering, hellish glare over the scene. That part of the plan had worked as Von Hoffman intended anyway. Aiming by that light, Matt drew a bead on one of the raiders and triggered a shot. The man he had just shot toppled off his horse. Twisting, Matt found another target. Again, he was rewarded by the sight of a raider doubling over and then pitching from the saddle. Some of the raiders had noticed Matt, though, and bullets began to kick up the dirt around them. They would have closed in on him and shot him to pieces, but at that moment, the front door slammed open and the Baron and Dieter charged out onto the porch.
Come on, Matt! We'll cover you!
Matt ducked under the porch railing and rolled across the planks. He came up on his knee again and added some shots from his Colt to the withering fire being poured out by Von Hoffman and Dieter. A couple of the horses went down directly in front of them, spilling their bullet-riddled riders. The three men pulled back into the house. Matt pulled the door closed behind them.
Thanks.
Are they leaving? Did we win?
Not hardly. They're just catching their breath. Here they come again.
Matt crouched at one of the windows, thumbing fresh rounds into his revolver. Greta Schiller had never been in the middle of a battle like this. The world had gone insane. Greta didn't know if she was going to survive, and it was all Friedrich von Hoffman's fault. If he hadn't been such a fool, he could be back in Germany living the life of a pampered aristocrat, and she would be his wife by now, plotting how to best get rid of him and take over his estate. Instead, they were in this godforsaken wilderness with crazy men yelling and shooting everywhere. But if she lived, von Hoffman had to die. Her masters back in Germany would reward her for his death. And there was a way. She had fetched a little pistol from her trunk. If she could lure him upstairs, she could shoot him. And no one would ever know that he hadn't been killed by a bullet fired by one of the raiders. She hurried down the stairs and went to his side.
Friedrich! Friedrich! There's a man upstairs. I think he's one of them.
Where? Show me!
Grasping von Hoffman's arm, Greta tugged him toward the stairs.
I'm so afraid. Friedrich, you have to stop him. He was going to Erica's room.
As they reached the landing, von Hoffman jerked away from Greta and bounded ahead. She pulled the pistol from her pocket and ran after him. Before she could stop him, he reached the door of Erica's room.
Erica! Erica! Are you all right?
Greta jammed the pistol against his back and pulled the trigger. Von Hoffman arched his back. Greta fired again and sent another bullet ripping into his body. He dropped his rifle and sagged against the wall, slapping his hands against it as he tried to hold himself up. He twisted his head around to stare at her in disbelief.
You made too many enemies, Friedrich.
You work for them!
Of course.
She lifted the pistol to shoot him in the head and finish him off. Suddenly, the Baron swung an arm and smashed the back of his hand across her face. The blow sent her staggering backwards. At the same time, Erica opened the door. She saw her cousin's bloody form swaying there. The last of von Hoffman's strength finally deserted him. Greta caught her balance and lifted the pistol again. Now, she would finish wiping the slate clean by killing Erica. No one would ever know the part she had played in their deaths, except the men back in Germany, who would be in her debt. Erica dived to the floor as Greta fired. Greta watched in amazement as Erica scooped up the rifle her cousin had dropped. The .44-40 slug punched into Greta's soft belly and blew her spine out her back. She collapsed as the pistol slipped from her fingers. She was barely aware of Erica standing up. and stalking along the corridor toward her.
You killed him! You killed him, you bitch!
And you've killed me.
Those were her last words as Erica worked the rifle's lever. The shots washed Greta Schiller away like a black river. Matt heard the shots upstairs and knew instinctively that it could only mean there was trouble up there.
Dieter, where's the Baron?
I don't know.
Come on.
They ran to the stairs and started up. As they reached the landing and peered down the hall, both men were shocked to see Erica standing over what had once been a woman. She had a Winchester in her hands, and it was pointing down at the gruesome remains.
Erica!
She killed Friedrich. Frau Schiller killed Friedrich and tried to kill me.
Matt saw the sprawled shape on the floor of the hallway beyond Erica. He rushed past her and dropped to a knee beside the bloody form of the Baron. Von Hoffman was still alive, but he was shot to pieces. He probably didn't have long. Matt lifted the Baron's head.
Erica! Erica!
Dieter, bring Erica over here. Her cousin's still alive.
Erica, come. The Baron still lives.
Oh.
Erica knelt beside the bloody figure of Von Hoffman, hugged him.
Friedrich, you must not die.
It is too late. I am sorry. Sorry for the harsh things I did. Sorry for the way I treated you.
All you ever did was love me and try to protect me.
Dieter!
Yes, Your Excellency.
I would rather now that you called me friend. And you must promise me you will take care of Erica.
Forever, Your Excellency.
Von Hoffman lifted a shaking hand. Dieter grasped it. Erica had hold of his other hand. Matt saw the life go out of the Baron's eyes. He left the two of them there to mourn the loss. Von Hoffman might be dead, but the gunfire continued outside. The defenders of the Rafter Nine still had a war to win. As Matt rode to sound the alarm, Smoke and Preacher had gradually gotten closer as the riders neared the ranch, and they dealt out a lot of damage when they joined the Rafter Nine's defenders. While Preacher hunkered down with the men in the barn, Smoke had gone to lend a hand to the defenders in the loft. The blown-up wagon continued to burn and cast its garish light over the ranch yard, although the flames were starting to die down a little now. Just as Smoke expected, the Baron's men fought valiantly in defense of their new home. He wished he knew how Matt and Dieter and Von Hoffman himself were doing, but that was going to have to wait. At least half the gunmen were down, and the others had to be thinking about bolting.
Keep firing, men. They're finished. Don't give up now. Keep firing, damn it. They're finished, I tell ya.
Smoke spotted Jethro Kane having trouble controlling his horse as it leaped around, maddened by the smoke and noise. The animal's spinning, jumping course carried it toward the barn. Smoke holstered his gun. He jumped up to grab the protruding beam. Smoke swung himself out and let his momentum carry him toward Kane. Smoke drove him out of the saddle. Both men crashed to the ground. Smoke rolled away and came up on his feet, but Kane was almost as fast to recover. Kane charged forward. He rammed into Smoke and knocked him backwards against the barn wall. Kane drove punch after punch into Smoke's body. Smoke hunched forward a little and smashed a punch of his own into Kane's solar plexus. Then he hammered a right uppercut into Kane's jaw that rocked the man's head back. And Smoke hooked a left into Kane's face. Whipping more punches into Kane's face and body, Smoke drove him back. Now that he wasn't pinned against the barn wall by Kane's weight, Smoke had room to really put some power behind his blows. Kane kept on flailing punches of his own, but most of them missed. Smoke crashed a hard right to the middle of Kane's face, sending him flying over backwards. He crashed to the ground, out cold. But Smoke did not have time to celebrate his triumph. A bullet ripped across his right side, plowing a bloody furrow in his flesh and spinning him halfway around with its impact. Fighting against the pain of the wound, Smoke saw one of the riders charging down toward him. Long, pale hair flew out behind the man's head, and his agate eyes burned with hatred.
We meet at last, Herr Jensen!
Klaus Berger drew a bead on Smoke and got ready to shoot him again. Smoke's Colt was still in its holster, but the bullet wound in his right side had deadened his arm and shoulder for the moment. But Smoke's left worked just fine. He whipped his bowie knife from its sheath and flung it underhanded at Berger. The blade buried itself in Berger's body and caused his second shot to go wild. The man didn't get a chance for a third shot as Preacher burst out of the barn with both guns blazing. The old mountain man's shot slammed into Berger's body, rocking him back and forth in the saddle. Berger dropped his gun and grabbed frantically for his saddle horn instead, managing to stay mounted as his horse plunged around in panic. Berger grabbed the handle of Smoke's knife, ripped the blade from his body, and flung it at Smoke. But the knife fell short, landing at Smoke's feet. Berger couldn't control the horse. It bolted, carrying its bullet-riddled rider out of the ranch yard and into the darkness. Preacher ran up to Smoke, who had his right arm clamped tight against his body now.
You all right, son?
I will be. This is just a scratch. We better find Matt.
Well, that shouldn't be hard to do. Looks like the fracas is about over.
Preacher was right. There were only scattered shots now as the defenders finished off the last of the raiders. Few of the hired gunmen had thrown down their weapons and surrendered already, and the other survivors were quick to do so. As Smoke and Preacher hurried toward the ranch house, Matt came out onto the porch. He leaped down and came to meet him.
Smoke, how bad you hit?
Not bad. I'll be all right. How about you?
Not a scratch, Preacher.
Oh, you know I'm too old and ornery to die. Hell, them dang bullets, they just dance around me.
Smoke, the Baron wasn't so lucky. He's gone.
Blasted. One of those hired guns got him.
Well, not the way you think. That red-headed woman, Greta Schiller, killed him.
What?
Best I can figure it out, she was working for the Baron's enemies too. Just like Berger. Only she was spying on him and waiting for a good chance to assassinate him.
Were you able to grab her?
No, but she didn't get away. Erica killed her. Where's Kane?
Over yonder. He's out cold.
Matt went over to Kane to check on him and came back shaking his head.
He's dead, Smoke. That must have been one hell of a beating.
Smoke wasn't going to lose any sleep over Kane's death, but he honestly hadn't meant to kill the man. He would have left it up to the law to hang him. Maybe Preacher was right. Maybe he's getting too soft in his old age. On the other hand, maybe not. The small cemetery on the Rafter Nine grew considerably more crowded the next day as a dozen of the ranch's defenders were laid to rest, including Baron Friedrich von Hoffmann. After the funerals, Smoke, the wound in his side bandaged up now, sat down with Erica to have a talk with her.
I reckon this is your ranch now. You don't have to make any decisions yet, but eventually you'll have to figure out what you want to do with it.
I know what to do with it. I will make it the very best ranch in this part of the country, just as Friedrich intended. And New Holtzburg will be a fine settlement as well. Dieter's promised to help me, and I know the others will too.
You know, I think you'll be just fine. All of you.
But what about Friedrich's enemies back in the old country? I am his heir. They may come after me now that he's gone.
I don't think so. I hate to say it, but they got what they wanted.
Someday they will pay for what they have done.
The settling up comes to everybody sooner or later. Best we can hope for is that the good we've done outweighs the rest of it.
In your case, Herr Jensen, I think there is no question about that.
Smoke waited a few days to let the wound in his side heal a little more before he saddled his horse and got ready to ride for home. Preacher was going to join him. Erica, Dieter, and Matt stood on the porch as Smoke and Preacher led their saddled horses up to the house to say their goodbyes.
I think he'll stick around here for a while, just to make sure Erica and Dieter get the ranch off on the right foot.
Don't worry about us, Smoke. We will be fine.
With true Western hombre like you around, Dieter, I'm sure of it. I'd like to stay, but I've got a ranch of my own to run, you know.
Maybe the Sugarloaf and the Rafter Nine can do some business sometime, yeah? I mean, you reckon?
I reckon we just might.
As they rode away, headed south toward Colorado, Preacher shook his head.
It's a damn shame the Baron didn't make it. I never did like him very much, mind you. He still had too many of them highfalutin European ideas. But I got a hunch he would have come around in time.
I think so, too. He had a dream for this land where he brought his people. At least that dream is still alive. I don't think Erica and Dieter will let it die.
I don't reckon they will either. But they ought to have a little easier time of it with both Kane and Berger dead.
You know, we never did find Berger's body.
Oh, hell, Smoke, the wolves got it, you know that. I shot him so full of holes, and you stuck a bowie knife in him. You don't reckon anybody could live through that, do you?
I wouldn't think so. But I'd feel a mite better about it if I knew he was in the ground where he belongs.
Smoke, you need to stop worrying about things that ain't gonna happen. You got a pretty wife waiting for you at home, remember? And by now, I bet she's missing you something. Power.
You know, I believe you're right. Let's go home.
The porter took the man's bag, helped him up the stairs to the private railroad car in the depot at Cheyenne, and handed the bag back to him when he reached the platform. It was a warm night, but the fellow was all wrapped up in an overcoat anyway, and he moved gingerly. The man pressed a coin into the porter's hand, and the porter couldn't help but notice how thin and pale his fingers were.
Thank you.
You're mighty welcome, sir. You headed east on business?
No. I travel for my health. But when I come west again, it will be for pleasure. To look up an old friend. A man named Jensen.
The Family Jensen 3, The Violent Land, is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2012, William W. Johnstone. Production copyright 2013, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and/or duplication prohibited. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Mort Shelby, James Lewis, Thomas Penny, Thomas Keegan, Elizabeth Jernigan, Tim Carlin, Tim Getman, Drew Copas, David Coyne, Terrence Aselford, Nora Ashrati, Nick DePinto, Eric Mesner, Stephen Carpenter, Evan Casey, David Harris, Colleen Delaney, Michael John Casey, Danny Gavigan, Richard Rowan, Ken Jackson, and Christopher Graybill. Directed by Colleen Delaney. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Allison Thomas. Additional music composed by Johann Detweiler. Book adapted for graphic audio by Doug Krenzlin. If you enjoyed The Family Jensen 3, The Violent Land, be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's Preacher, The First Mountain Man, Smoke Jensen, The Mountain Man, and Matt Jensen, The Last Mountain Man series. All available in graphic audio and road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net, where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts. Now, keep listening for exciting previews of other titles in graphic audio. We appreciate it.
Now here's a surprise.
Are you alone?
At the moment. Raymond, aren't you supposed to be dead?
Not that I know of.
How did he die?
They said you both died on Olympus Creek. Are we correct in assuming that you are no longer working with the Unified Authority?
Yes, sir. That would be a correct assumption.
Are you fugitives?
Enemies might be a better description.
Arthur tracked the Avatari signal to Boda's galaxy. The Navy should have sent a fleet to destroy their home world by now.
Admiral, we have lost 3/4 of our fleet. We no longer have the firepower we need to carry out our mission. We must return to Earth. We must report that we have located the aliens and request a larger fleet and more troops. As the Master Chief has suggested, we should have our SEALs open the way and send in Marines.
What do you suggest, Master Chief?
Maybe we should return to Earth.
We should return?
We should return and report what we have found. If we attack now and we fail, everything we have learned will be lost. We need to make our report, then launch our attack. We're not here to defeat this enemy. We need to destroy them.
Kill him, Harris! Well, that's an order!
Any last words?
Look, we got all kinds of stuff. I promise, I'll give you half of everything. No, all of it. All of it, I'm good for it.
Sounds like you've got the golden goose. Maybe I should let you go.
Oh, you won't be sorry. You won't. You're gonna be rich!
We meet right here, day after tomorrow. If you're not here with enough swag to fill a transport, you're a dead man. Get out of here.
Why did you let him go?
Didn't you hear? He's going to make me rich.
You're never going to see him again.
Damn straight I'm not going to see him again. Why the spec do you think we evacuated this planet? In 3 hours, the city's going to be dust. And that bastard is going to be dust along with it.
I told you to kill him. You disobeyed a direct order.
Yeah, we, need to talk about that. Admiral, I'm relieving you of command.
You're what?
These are dire times, Admiral, and you're not fit for command.
Who the hell do you think you're speaking to?
Admiral Stephen R. Jolly, enlisted man's Navy, retired.
You can't do this!
Captain Holman, how much do you know about ancient Rome?
I know about the Praetorian Guard.
Really? Are you a fan of the classical age?
Not until recently. Am I looking down the barrel of a promotion?
A big one.
What about Admiral Jolly?
Shot by a looter. That was on Gobi. You saw the report.
And now you're placing me in charge?
I have every confidence in you.
Did you have every confidence in Admiral Jolly?
I was obligated to give him a shot because of his seniority.
You killed him.
Not me. It was the looter.
Are you gonna kill me if I screw up?
I need a commander. Are you in or out?
I'm in.
Glad to hear it. You couldn't have taken this post at a better time. We're about to launch a sensitive operation.
Captain! There's something out there!
Where?
I'm changing course!
Shields up!
They're robotic! I'm detecting a signal!
Clear path! We need to break through!
Know this, gentlemen. Our only chance of survival is to establish a colony on a planet that the aliens have already attacked. We are going to colonize Terrano. As many of you know, the Unified Authority patrols that area. Our barges will be vulnerable. The Navy has asked a lot of you over the last month, and you have delivered. Now I'm going to ask even more of you than ever. Some of you will be asked to make the ultimate sacrifice. In order for this plan to work, we will need to draw the UA fleet away from Providence, Cree, and Terra. That means opening a front that will draw the Unified Authority's forces away. We are going to invade Earth.
Stephen L. Kent. Rogue Clone. Book 7. The Clone Redemption.
Available now in graphic audio.
Who the hell are you?
I'm the law. And if you pull that pistol, I'm gonna shove it up your ass and pull the trigger.
Graphic Audio presents Shootout at Broken Bow.
Put that thing back in your boot. It's time for you to call it a night, get your money off the table, and clear out of here. Maybe you'll have better luck tomorrow. Kind of an unfriendly way to greet customers.
Well, I'm sorry, mister, but the past few days around here has got a lot of folks kind of edgy when a stranger walks in.
You stay away from my wife!
I don't think so.
Oh, no! Oh!
Shut up!
He was here. Him and three of his boys.
How long ago?
He left here 2 nights ago.
Did he say where he's headed?
Nope, and I didn't ask him.
Did you see which way he headed when he left here?
Yeah, I watched him leave. He started out to the north following Boggy Creek.
So you found us. What are you aiming to do about it? Seeing as how it's your gun against our four.
Well, that's just it, damn it. If you'd gone the hell back to Texas after you robbed that train at Durant Station, it wouldn't have caused me no problem. But now I ain't by myself. I expect in about 10 or 15 minutes it's gonna be somebody on that hill above us that ain't looking for no payoff.
My God, somebody's gonna pay for this. If I have to ride into Fort Smith and shoot that judge right down in his damn courtroom. It pleasures me to know that you're looking out for us.
Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.